In recent years, the paleo diet has won over many proponents. Its focus on what our ancient ancestors ate means that those who follow the diet consume a lot of unprocessed foods like meat, eggs, some nuts, along with some fermented foods, while cutting out sugar, grains, and most dairy. It may sound a bit extreme, but some people swear by it, saying that they have more energy and feel better. Joining us now to discuss the paleo diet is one of its proponents, John Durant. His book, called The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health, is published by Harmony Books, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
How did you find your way to what many have come to call the paleo diet?
I studied some evolutionary psychology in college and learned about taking an evolutionary approach to biology. And then when I was looking to be healthier at my first desk job, I was really put off by a lot of the insanity in the health world. There are all this conflicting advice, low fat, Atkins, vegetarianism. And I read about an approach that said, look at what humans did in the wild and start
that was,
there.
That was the paleo diet, which is devised by Lauren Cordain.
Well,
or because there are earlier versions also. There's also the Stone Age diet, the caveman diet.
There's probably some hominin from 2.6 million years ago who's rolling over in his or her grave.
Because, we'll have the Homo erectus diet
right,
soon.
Because they were the ones that really pioneered it, not us.
But in the end, what was its appeal for you, that it just sounded more natural?
First off, it offered simplicity. There's all this conflicting advice, and then I tried it and got very good results in unanticipated ways, not just good energy and weight loss, but my complexion improved and my mood improved and things like that.
Well, how do we know what Paleolithic people ate?
There are a few different lines of evidence. We can look at contemporary hunter-gatherers, even though that's not a perfect representation of the past. You can do analyses on the bones of Paleolithic remains, and you can look at novel foods since the agricultural revolution.
Well, there are some things that are no longer around, like mammoths and saber-toothed tigers, and cannibalism was commonplace in the Paleolithic era. I hope that you've drawn the line there.
I cannot in good conscience recommend cannibalism because people today eat such lousy diets that if you were to incorporate cannibalism, you should eat someone like me.
Yeah, because you're saying you are what you eat.
That's right.
At the beginning of your book, you spend quite a bit of time talking about a pair of gorillas in the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. Why do we have to understand other primates in order to understand the early human diet?
It's easier to talk about health when you're not talking about human beings. Everybody has preconceived notions and biases when humans are in the picture, but nobody has an opinion about Western lowland gorillas.
But gorillas eat their food raw.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cook it.
We've been cooking for about a million years. I'm pro-cooking. Mm-hmm. I also incorporate raw foods as they're traditionally prepared, sushi and sashimi and tartare and things like that.
And of course, raw vegetables.
Sure.
In our modern age, we have the luxury of combining and consuming foods that would never appear in the same natural habitat. Doesn't that mean that we could never replicate any one Paleolithic diet?
The idea is to mimic it in its relevant features. You can have novel foods that can be healthy. Many people who start paleo find that they incorporate traditional dairy and they do fine on it and they enjoy it and they keep it in their diet. And that's fine. You can experiment and see what works for you. But this evolutionary perspective is great for generating hypotheses for what might be causing so many health problems.
So do you think everything went to hell when humans started becoming herders and farmers?
I wouldn't say everything went to hell, but we definitely lost about 4 or 5 inches of height. Our dentition got worse. There was much more infectious disease from living in cities. Our bone structure got weaker. So it wasn't – the common perception is that everything has just improved. Things got worse before they got better.
And food changed radically again after the industrial age. That's when we began to eat a lot more sugar.
And that's when the British first got the reputation for lousy teeth. They were the first group of – they went through the Industrial Revolution first. They were the first to have large amounts of sugar in their diet, often taken with tea. And the teeth in London from about 1800 onwards are just awful. So we're clearly not adapted to industrial foods or an industrial diet.
Throughout the book, you talk about the difference between surviving and thriving. Why is that an important distinction to make?
Well, we've conquered the first problem. We can people live longer than ever. But what about the quality of life? And lots of folks are beset by chronic health conditions, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression. And many of these conditions probably are mismatch conditions, mismatch between our primal biology and the lifestyles we lead today.
Well, there probably was a lot of fat in the paleo diet, but haven't we come as a culture to think that fat is an enemy of our health?
Over the last 50 years. But just recently in the British Medical Journal, there was an article about reconsidering the conventional wisdom on saturated fat and that some of the we've demonized fat in every conceivable way, shape, and form, and it hasn't worked.
Well, the FDA announced just this week that it's going to move to ban trans fats because all fats aren't beneficial. New York has already banned them, and many people are seeing an improvement here.
Well, I agree that trans fats are unhealthy, but they entered our diet about 100 years ago with the release of vegetable oils, partially hydrogenated vegetable oils.
Do you think it's a good idea that people are calorie counters and that—
I hate calorie counters. I hate it. I have better things to do with my life. I'm sure you do too. And it makes people obsessive. I'm sure that a lot of the eating disorders that plague particularly young women come from this calorie counting low fat dogma.
My guest is John Durant, whose book, The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health, is published by Harmony Books. How do you suggest we start? Do we ease ourselves in or do we go whole hog and try the strictest paleo diet, the one that was devised by Lauren Cordain?
I think for an initial period, a month, a few weeks, 2 months, go whole hog and do something strict so that you can
actually— You don't mean whole hog.
Well, eat nose to tail. give it a shot and see what results you get. And then you can add in novel foods, dairy, your favorite foods, traditional foods in your culture, and see how you do. And that's fine. If you do well in those foods, keep them in.
So you're not a purist here. You will allow for some dairy, even though the strict paleo diet does not. Do we know for sure that Paleolithic people didn't drink milk from the cows that they found? Or
I don't know if you've ever tried to milk a wild animal, but it's hard. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. But I like to use paleo as a starting point. It doesn't have to be everybody's ending point. If you feel good, if you're at a normal weight and you're happy with how you're eating, I'm not going to tell that person that they're wrong for eating bread.
You also like fermented foods.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
The Paleolithic people didn't eat yogurt.
Well, there was one of the gut microbiome projects just had a great piece on the Hadza in Tanzania and how when they would kill prey, they would take the gut bacteria in the intestines of the kudu or whatever animal it was, rub it on their hands and eat it. And so there were definitely probiotics in the Paleolithic, and microorganisms are one of the hottest areas in health. So.
A number of listeners have called in to wonder whether what you're describing, the paleo diet, isn't pretty much a version of the Atkins diet.
Well, Atkins has an obsessive focus just on carbohydrate. And turning carbohydrate into this evil thing, and there's not an emphasis on food quality.
You can well, just carbohydrates these would have been available as part of the
sure.
the hunter gatherer.
Sure, from roots and tubers and honey and things like that. So there's more emphasis on eating real foods, whole foods, and not just demonizing carbohydrate.
What about cutting sugar out of your diet completely? Aren't sugars necessary for the body to function?
Refined sugar is not necessary at all. And many people with neurodegenerative disorders like epilepsy and Alzheimer's are finding that a ketogenic diet, zero carbohydrate, can be effective. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that. But.
Well, we mentioned the Atkins diet. Doesn't the paleo diet have a lot of things in common with other diets? Cutting out industrial or processed foods, cutting down on the sugar in our diets?
Well, and It does, and that's why I don't think it should be quite as controversial as people sometimes portray it. If you compare it to Michael Pollan's guidelines, eat food mostly plants, not too much. I agree. The recommendations in my book are very similar to his, with two different emphases. I'm more pro meat and pro animal foods, and I'm more anti grains, legumes, anti seed, basically.
It sounds almost like you're also suggesting a locavore approach.
I think learning where your food comes from is profoundly important these days, and learning how to hunt and re-engaging with the food system is essential.
So you want me to go out and start hunting now?
Sure, sure. Or fish, or plant a garden in your backyard, or go forage for wild plants on a hike.
Did you find that following the paleo diet changed where and how you shop for food? I mean, other than going out and hunting for it yourself?
Yeah, I ended up buying a freezer chest.
You do live in New York City.
I live in Manhattan, and for a while I had a freezer chest in my bedroom, which was an interesting thing to have in your bedroom, filled with organ meats. But it has changed. I still shop at the grocery store, but I also go to markets and hunt and do cow shares and pig shares and things like that.
Well, aren't a lot of the foods on the paleo diet, eggs, milk, meat, often industrially produced?
Right. And so there's an emphasis on getting back to permaculture farming or local sources of food or more traditional ways of preparing it.
Although there is a lot of meat in the paleo diet, people following it do eat plants. Are there certain plants that you consider to be better than others?
I tend to focus on leafy vegetables and roots and tubers and berries and some fruit rather than grains.
So you don't grains, like legumes either, although legumes are full of nutrients and vitamins.
See, that's the thing about – when I say seeds, I mean the reproductive organ of the plant, and I include grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. There are nutrients in the seed, but there are also problematic compounds and toxins. And the conversation around grains has been completely one-sided for the last half century. It's just that they're the nectar of the gods. And I hope that this paleo approach can help introduce some pros and cons to that conversation.
But you don't seem to have much patience with vegetarians. What's wrong with getting your protein from legumes and other non-meat sources? Many vegetarians point out that they tend to be a lot healthier than the rest of us.
I have no problem with any person eating however they'd like to eat. And I do think that vegetarians have brought to light some very problematic aspects with the factory farm system. I agree with that. Where I have a problem is when vegetarians turn around and say to other people that this is the optimal way for a human being to eat. Humans have been eating meat for over 2.6 million years. We've been eating fat and saturated fat for a very long time. And a lot of people run into health problems, vitamin B12 deficiency, weaker bone structure from a strictly vegan diet.
Now, I'm assuming also that the people in the Paleolithic era went through periods where they didn't find any food. And you suggest fasting is a good thing?
Absolutely.
Do you think that's why there are fasting days in most religions?
Yeah. Fighting chronic infections seems to be one of the health benefits of fasting, and we get an indication of this from wild animals or any type of animal that loses its appetite when it's infected or sick. Appetite loss is an adaptive feature, and so all these fasting rituals may have emerged when people started living in cities and getting more infections.
Well, the ancient peoples also were nomads on the whole. They moved from place to place. That would mean that I'm assuming that you think we should be walking instead of riding in cars.
Yes. We live in the most sedentary era of human history, so any type of movement is beneficial.
And you became a nut at the gym. Why do you think CrossFit has attracted a lot of paleo diet followers?
CrossFit tapped into something very important, which is ancient motivations, like the motivation you find in sport. Many people – the big problem for most people is not the minutiae of exercise protocol. Should I do 3 sets of 10 or 10 sets of 3? It's finding the motivation to exercise on a regular basis, and when they do work out, to work out with enough intensity. And so CrossFit has basically redesigned the motivational habitat of the gym, where it's more like a sport, and sports are good at motivating people.
Did Colbert treat you as nicely as I have?
You guys have both treated me great, and I appreciate that. And what was great about Colbert was that he was the crazy one, so I got to be reasonable in contrast.
Which is not the way you're usually treated.
Right. I'm usually the guy in the loincloth eating raw meat straight off the bone and things like that, and it's all kind of silly.
Well, that's because most people assume that the paleo diet is about a lot more than just what's on your plate.
Right, right. And it is a lifestyle. And I do want people to think about it as a lifestyle. And at the end of the day, it's really not even about the word paleo. It's about starting to take evolution seriously in how we think about health.
So where do I find a hand axe?
Probably on eBay.
John Durant's book, The Paleo Manifesto, Ancient Wisdom for Lifelong Health, published by Harmony Books. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me on.